All right, so we're on Daf Chaf Beis tonight. So last night, one of the things we mentioned last night was about teaching Torah to women. So Fern asked me a question. He said that the Gemara says that according to one opinion, if you teach your daughter Torah, it's like teaching her a tzipluk. So Rashi learned. So who is it that says that? That's one second. Reb Lezer, right. So that's the Tana Reb Lezer. So Rashi learns that tiflet means that you teach her about like sexual immorality, because she'll learn like how to learn all these different ideas, you know, how to do it. But the Rambam learns that she'll distort the words of Torah. So Fern asked me why would I think that? So this is an article that was written by Rabbi Moshe, Moshe Weinberger almost 40 years ago in the Journal of Halacha about teaching. Yeah, excuse me. Sorry, David, can you talk a little lower? Thank you so much. It says, so this was almost 40 years ago. So they quote here, he says, the Rambam explains, since women are generally not ready to dedicate themselves completely to Torah study, their knowledge will necessarily be superficial. Given such superficial knowledge, a woman will not be able to appreciate the depth and scope of Jewish learning, but will come to consider it irrelevant and trivial. In other words, since they're not obligated in learning Torah, they won't devote themselves properly to it. So it's a lengthy article, but let me just read the very end of the article where he has like sort of a conclusion at the end. Let me get it. So at the end of the article, he says, we have seen that the Rishonim and Achronim may be divided into two distinct schools within their understanding of the Rambam statement in Hilchot Talmud Torah. Within Rashi, it sounds like the women would be dead in the water. But within the Rambam, he's got two schools of thought. One view interprets the Rambam statement as a permanent prohibition, hence women may not study nor be taught Torah. However, the actual prohibition applies only to the study of the oral Torah, as well as to in-depth study of the written Torah. These forms of study fall under the category of Tiflut and Divrei Havoi. He says, an alternate view refuses to understand the Rambam statement as a rigid prohibition against Talmud Torah for women. Instead, this school is concerned with the underlying rationale of the Psak. It asks, what if a woman is clearly not one of those who should be suspected of misinterpreting the Torah? May a woman teach herself Torah? Was the Rambam's Psak no more than a warning to a society whose women were, for the most part, intellectually unmotivated? Within this school, there are authorities who subscribe to a moderate heter. Women may study the written Torah with all of its commentaries. The oral Torah may be studied on an individual basis under careful supervision and guidance. Other authorities in the school permit, quote, open enrollment, unquote, of women into classes of all areas of the Torah under the condition that such a program constructively caters to the needs of a good number of women in a particular society. All religious authorities agree that women should study the laws that apply to them. They differ as to how those mitzvot should be studied, and whether or not this form of study is related to the mitzvah Talmud Torah. So that's those are some ideas about women with Talmud Torah. All right. No, I don't. Well, I don't think that would be a consideration. The halacha, in other words, let's say the woman knows more about Shemir Shabbos than the husband. So that's not a reason not to. So that's the husband needs to learn more. You know, but. But that I don't think would be a lot of considerations. Okay, let me do a little bit with today's Gemara. So I'll begin back on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, the bottom line. So again, the Gemara was discussing what's the Rasha Arum, like a cunning evildoer. So the Gemara gave a whole different bunch of shatim, but three words before the end of the daf, Ula Amar, So Ula says, what's a Rasha Arum, a cutting evildoer? The person studied Sukkim, he studied the Mishnayot, Lo Shimesh Talmidei Chachamim, he wasn't Mishamesh, he didn't serve Talmidei Chachamim. Rashi learns, he didn't learn like the Sfaras, like how to be Mechalik, what does this Mishnah mean, the other Mishnah mean, how to, you know, what, you know, which the way the Halakha goes. So people who hear him, they think he knows what he's talking about because he knows the Mishnayot, but he really doesn't because he wasn't Mishamesh Talmidei Chachamim. So in that sense, he's a Rasha Arum. In other words, he passes himself off as Talmid Chacham, but it's really not the case. And that's a Rasha Arum. So now the Gemara that uses that as a springboard for the next subject. On the second line, Itmar Harabah Shanah V'lo Shemesh Talmidei Chachamim. If a person studied Torah and he studied the Mishnah, but he wasn't Mishamesh Talmidei Chachamim. Mishamesh Talmidei Chachamim, you know, you have an interchange with them, you observe them. Rabbi Leibowitz was saying today, like, observe, like he's putting Rav Schechter, like, you observe their, what they do, their menhagim, and you understand what their menhagim are. But he says, but you have a personal connection with something that's common. So, but here you don't. Rav Lazo Meir harais the Ama Aretz. Rav Lazo says a person like that is an Ama Aretz. So Ama Aretz, we use it colloquially as an uneducated person, but it means Bizman Chazal is a certain group of people known as Ami Haaretz, Ama Aretz. And Rashi says on the eighth narrow line, there is Amaris Shechashul Mastro Bilataro. In other words, if they give you food, you have to be choshesh that Masir wasn't taken from an Amaris. So food you get from the Amaris is Demai. And then with Taharot, so it means that everything they touch you, you have to be concerned they're not careful about Tumun Tara. And Chazal teach us that Big Day Amaris, the garments of an Amaris, are midras leprushim. In other words, that the leprushim teach it as tumas midras. Midras is the thing that somebody with zab sat on or something like that. So, or anita. So that would be common. So anyway, so here he's saying, so blasomer hareza ama aretz. So a person like that is an ama aretz and you can't trust him. So boor means is more, in other words, the no halachic difference between the Amaretz and the boor, but the boor means he's like more coarse, he's like less nido. Rabbi Yanai says a person like that is a kuti, a non-Jew. So Rashi says, Rashi, you can't eat his bread and drink his wine. Since he wasn't mishamish tamid chachamim, inu makir al dibrei chachamim l'da'atam, lo shana el harod asmok tamid chacham. He's not concerned with what the chachamim had, and he only studied to make the pretense that he's a tamid chacham. So let's see back in the Gemara. He says on the fourth line, Rav Acha bar Yaakov omer hareza magosh. Magosh is a sorcerer. If you look at Rashi, magosh mechashef ha'uchesed ha'inayim. Means chesed einayim, like you do like magic. That's what it means. He says v'gonevet olavavot, and you mislead people. So he's a magosh. So it's a bad situation with this. The Gemara says Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak mistabrik Rav Acha bar Yaakov. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says it's logical. The last opinion is the correct one, that he's like a magosh. He's like Rav Acha bar Yaakov, the Amri Inshi, because people say Ratin Magosh of Lo Yada Mayamar, that a Magosh, a magician, he says incantations, he doesn't know what he's saying, but they work. So Tani Tan of Lo Yada Mayamar. So here too, the person, he teaches Mishnayot, but he doesn't know what he's talking about. And so in that sense, that's the way he's bad news. He's bad news. And the only thing I don't know what it means, like somebody who's coming off and like you know, presenting himself to as a Talmud Chacham. That's the person who I think the Gemara is addressing itself to, but let's see further. Now, the Gemara says,
how did you explain, if I can ask, what did you say Lo Shimesh Talmidei Chachamim means, really?
Yeah, so I said it means that he has a connection with Talmidei Chachamim. Shimesh Talmidei Chachamim could mean like you're serving them, you're taking care of them. The Gemara says, you know, Po'el Yahu, Shitzach Mayim, Eliyahu, that here's Elisha, he poured water on Eliyahu's hands. So that's in the narrow sense of Shemesh Talmid Chachamim, but in a more expansive sense, it means you have a connection with Talmid Chachamim. You're there, you observe what they do. That's the way that Rav Leibowitz was saying, Rav Schechter, you observe their Han Hagot. But in a broader sense, like you have a connection with Talmid Chachamim, not as opposed to people today, they open a book, they do the internet. That's certainly not Shamish Tamid Chachamim. You understand what I'm saying? You have a connection with Tamid Chachamim. You have Mesorah from Tamid Chachamim. That's to be Mishamish Tamid Chachamim. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara online.
Thank you.
Okay, so Tana Rabbanan, we learned the Bryce. So, Eizu Ama Aretz. Who's an Ama Aretz? Kol Sheno Kori Kriyat Shema Shachar Ba'arvit with Yerichotet the Rameir. Rameir says if a person doesn't recite Kriyat Shema in the morning and the evening with its bracha, so the Gemara in the second bracha doesn't say Bevir Chotel. Here it says Bevir Chotel. So Rabbi Leibowitz, I was listening to his tape recording today on the DAP, which he gave this morning. He had a whole rechus about the connection between Kriyat Shema and the brachot of Kriyat Shema, that there's like it's all part of the same kiyum. The way he was saying that, like a lot of times, the shul. Let's say they daven at 9 o'clock in the morning. So many times during the year, they don't say Kriyat Shema B'zmana. So a lot of people will say Kriyat Shema ahead of time, but there's an idea of saying Kriyat Shema b'vira chota. In other words, you want to say Kriyat Shema, you want to be yotzi Kriyat Shema in the bracha, all as a package. He says that when Rav Schechter goes to places and it's going to be that way, he davens even b'yichidus in order to say Kriyat Shema b'vira chota, and then he just like appears like he's there as if he's davening there, but he's already davened ahead of time because he wants to say Kriyat Shema b'vira chota. In other words, so he says here, and there's a similar sugya in Brachot. You see in Brachot in the Zion of Days, you may recall, he says, person doesn't put on tefillin. He doesn't have tzitzit on his garment. He has sons, and he doesn't raise them to study Torah. I've mentioned this to you in the past, that the Azam Torah, Azam Strike, and he says that if you want to see who and what the person is about, you just see the education they give their kids, you know, and it's like Pashut. In other words, you want to know where the person's coming from, where is he holding, you know, if the person sends their kids to proper school, that tells you something. If he sends it to like a very, very modern school, it tells you something, or to a radio school, you know what I mean? Like, you see everything about the person, the education they give their kids. It tells you everything about the person. So the, And I like quoted in Torah Ladas, he says, if a person has sons and doesn't raise them to study Torah, he's an Amaris, meaning an Amaris, and they have been with the Amaris. Now you can't rely on him for Masros and for Tarum, things like that. Others say, and usually that's Rav Meir, but we had Rav Meir earlier, so I guess it can't be here, Rav Meir. So he says here, even if he learned Sukkim and he studied Mishnayot, same as we learned before, he wasn't Mishamesh Tamid Chachamim, Zeu Am Haaretz. Kara V'lo Shana, he just studied Pesukim, but he didn't study Mishnayot, Harez Abur. Bur is a more coarser person, is what he's saying. So he's Harez Abur. He says, Lo Kara V'lo Shana, if he didn't, he's a zero. He didn't study Pesukim, he didn't study Mishnayot, Allah B'Ktub Omer. So concerning him, the Pasuk says, Yizarati Beit Yisrael Beit Yudah, Zer Adam, Zer Behemoth. I'll plant Beit Yisrael. Some of them will be Adam, some will be Behema. Means he's comparing the people who have no learning to Behemas. You know, that's what he's saying. All right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, and anything we did so far? Okay, Rafi's got a question. Go ahead.
Here it's not what we have, what we say, because here he goes against the Torah. He goes against the back of the
Right.
He's not doing the major mitzvah.
Right.
It's not a simple thing.
So, but you want to say it's not like
today
what?
When we say Amar, we mean somebody who doesn't learn.
Right. In other words, yeah. Here they use more technical halachic sense. In other words, it's a definition. In other words, the category. The person said Amar for certain dinim, and we said the dinim are that you can't rely on his mantra. You can't rely on his taharot. So the Gemara has these definitions here. Now, there's a Tosos here that Rabbi Levi was pointing out. So there's like Rameir says, like if you look in the Tosfos, he says, he quotes the Gemara Barako. Rameir says that Izum Haaretz Kol Sheino Kel Kulin B'Tara. The Rameir doesn't need his Kulin and say B'Tara. So the same Rameir who has one definition here that didn't respect Kriyat Shema Shachar Bar B'Vir Chotah has different Rameir. So it depends on which halacha you're talking about. In other words, it's definition, but the definition will change on which halacha we're discussing. Okay, what do you want to say? I don't know, Moshe, you want to say something?
I wanted to say that I saw someplace, I remember where I saw it, that Rabbi Akiva was being burying someone to be metamed to a mace, and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elezer had needed him to be mishamis them, the Rebbe's, and they said, that every movement you made, you spill blood, like it's.
I know. Right. So Yosef says it deals with the main mitzvah. I thought it was talking about. All right. So that's what Yosef. Yosef said we had a Gemara that there was a main mitzvah, and it did to do with the Korban Pesach, whatever, something like that, or not. Where did we see that Gemara? That was in the Darim. Where was that? Okay. So Yosef remembers the Gemara also that All right. All right. So any other questions, comments, thoughts?
I was running to say on time when you see the whole second Hasidim there, completely different way.
Well, that's not following, you know, normative halacha. In other words, with the chassid, I would not. No, I don't think you can. I don't even know if you're a chassid, you could do it really, but
major halacha.
Right. I think that they feel it's whether they have a mashal. It's like when the person is on a very intimate basis with somebody, they could do things at their own time, something like that. Anyway, so all right, let's see back in the Gemara. We're at the two dots on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. Okay, Yirat Hashem b'ni b'melech b'im shonim al tarav. So this is a pasuk in Mishlei, the Book of Proverbs, which was said by Shlomo Melech. Shlomo was addressing his son Rechavam, who took over after he died, and then the kingdom split apart. So Shlomo says to his son Rechavam, "Yirat Hashem b'ni b'melech, you should fear God, my son, and the king." And I think that you're going to be the king. The im shonim alt darav. Now, it's really in the pasuk says im not gav. The im shonim alt darav. Don't mix yourself with the shonim. It's a simple shot they put in the article. It's like the fickle people who aren't so committed to Torah, don't get involved with them. Let me just see how we translate this pasuk. One second. He says, right, my child and the king. I assume it means Yirat Hashem, my child and the king. So I assume I don't know if he means that you're going to be the king, or he means you should be the king, because he's the king. So I don't know, but he says, but the point is, im shonim al tarav, don't get involved with the shonim. Now the word shonim, it could be people who study, could be shonim. The people who like to repeat the Torah could be shonim. You know, and shonim could be people who are different than everybody else. So we'll see in a minute. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, il shonim halacho. So The drasha is that it refers to the people who study halachot. In other words, you shouldn't get involved with them. And Rashi explains, so shimshu tamid chachamim lupiru al tamid mishnayot. In other words, they teach halachot, but they weren't mishamish tamid chachamim. Stay away from them. They're like poison. In other words, like they don't know what they're talking about. They'll mess you up. He says, v'im shonim al tarav, shonim the people who study halachot, to teach halachot. The Gemara says, pshita, obviously. Shouldn't give out with them. So I would have thought that the drasha would be an alternative shot in the pasuk. The people who are habituated to do a veirot, like Rav Huna says, the Amar Rav Huna came and shavar dam aveira b'shana ba'hutrlo. Once a person does an aveira and then repeats it, it becomes heter to him. It becomes like a green light. No matter what the aveira is, you know, it could be eating chazer, it could be being mechal Shabbos, it could be having relations with a woman who's an Ida. You know, whatever the situation is, whatever the Avera is, the Lachas Kamakama, you know, people talking with Chazar Sashatz, and they think it's nothing, but the Mechaber says, Gedol Avonami is so, their Avera is harder, you know, is greater that can be born. So it's such an extreme Avera. But whatever it is, once people do it, it becomes happy to them. So I would have thought that's an alternative shot, but maybe someone else is saying to his son, we've shown him off the job, don't get involved with the people who habituate themselves with what they wrote. So Kamash Malan. So does that Kamash Malan that no, he says that's not the drasha. The drasha should be the people who are shown in halacha. Then the pshuto shemekra is don't give up with like the people, the fickle people who are not so committed to Torah. But the drasha is don't get involved with shown in the people who teach the halacha, but really don't know what they're talking about. Those is you should stay away from them. So now the Gemara says, Tana to Nebraisa, Hatanaim Evaliolam. Tanaim here means the people who know the Mishnayot by heart, by Mishnayot, the Brises by heart. The Tanaim are destroyers of the world. So the words of Mavali Olam Satadaita, but I said the destroyers of the world. Amravina, Shemor Halacha Mitoch Mishnah Tanaim means when they teach the Halacha just from the Mishnah. In other words, if I only know the Mishnah, so I'm not qualified to teach the Halacha. He says, Tani Nami Hachi, the Brises supports this. Amra Mishua, Bachim Mavali Olam Hain. Are they really Mevali Olam, destroyers of the world? Well, Lo Miyashri Olam, the ones who set up the world. Shenemar Halichot Olam Lo. So this Halichot Olam Lo is something familiar to everybody who davens. As we say every Shabbos morning, at least in the Nusach Ashkenaz, he says, it's Halichot Olam Lo, obviously Halichot Olam Halachot, right? In other words, that the ways of the world are his, but Halachot Olam Lo, the ones who study halachot, like the world belongs to them. He says, let's see. He says, and Rashi says, Hashanah halachot olam shelo b'zchutav. If a person teaches halachot, the world like is his and his merit. Ela shmor halacha mitoch mishnah. It means that they teach the halacha from those mishnayot. That's what they're going to mess everybody up with. Okay, let's just do one Rashi on this. Shmor halacha mitoch mishnatan. Around 20 lines above where it gets wide, he says shmor halacha mitoch mishnatan. Ka'amar shemvalin olam. They're destroying the world with erroneous rulings. The Kevan de Yodin time of Mishnah, they don't know the reasoning before the Mishnah because of the Mishnah. I mean, Gorman, sometimes they cause terrible damage. They make an analogy, something that's not at all comparable. Also, there are many Mishnah, they say, who does this Mishnah go? And he says, it's like X, it's a Shitas Yachid, it's not really a luck that way. They don't know with the early machlokot who the halacha follows. Hilchah more in hora otawid. They give erroneous rulings, so that's really like poison. And you have somebody who seems like they know what they're talking about, but they're really bozos. That those are the real people you got to really watch out for. I can give a lot of examples, but it's not safe. Anyway, the idea is that. People, in other words, you want to have somebody, if you want to have somebody that, like I was saying yesterday, find out where they study, where they get smicha from, did they study from anybody? Got everybody running around the place, they just, do things on the internet, or they just read books. They don't have a mesorah from Rebbeim. Get somebody who has a mesorah from Rebbeim, who's learning is solid, and ask them, what the halacha is, let's go further. Okay, now Isha Prusha Vakuli. So in the Mishnah, the Mishnah said on Daf Chav, it said that that Rabbi Yeshua would say that a chassid shoteh, like a foolishly pious person who said yesterday, if he sees a woman drowning in the river, he says, no, I can't save her because I can't have a great look. That's a chassid shoteh. Rasha Arum is a cunning Rasha. These are all people who destroy the world. So the Gemara, we did one pshat today, but the Gemara gave, I think, 9 different pshat in what a Rasha Arum is. And then we said, then he says, V'isha Prusha sounds like an ascetic woman. It sounds like a good woman. And Umakot Prushim, and the wounds of the Prushim, they're all destroyers of the world. So let's see back in the Gemara. So it says, Isha Prusha Bechule, Tanarabanan, Betula Salganit. So he quotes a Braisa. The Braisa is Betula Salganit, of a Betula who's praying all the time. Va'almana Shovavit, and a neighborly Almana. He says, V'katan Shlo Kalu Fadashav, a Katan Shlo Fadashav, meaning he didn't come to full term, a child that was in a full term pregnancy. It sounds like they're all destroyers of the world. So we don't understand this. We must be patient, and then we'll understand the price, and then we'll understand the mission. He says, "Inis is true." Amar Yochanan says, "Lamanu yirat chait ni betula." We learn what yirat chait is from a betula. The kibul safar me almana. We know what receiving safar is from an almana. We'll see in a minute. Yirat chait ni betula. Rabbi Yochanan shama lahi betula. Denafla apa. Yochanan heard this young woman that naflal apa, it sounds like didn't feel this a time, it sounds like saying tachanun. So Rabbi Leibowitz gave a little kabur about this the other day about the women don't say tachanun, but this woman was saying tachanun. The ka'amran, she said, this is her tefillah, that you Hashem created Gan Eden, who barat Gehenim, created Gehenim, barat tzaddikim, barat rishayim, you created tzaddikim and rishayim, you're at stone with an echa, so you kash to be b'nei adam. May it be your will that people don't trip up on me. In other words, like I'm a good-looking woman. I don't want people to, maybe get thoughts and whatever, to do things that would be in Aveira. So that's my tefillah to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's an example. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. We see this betula, she's making a wonderful tefillah. Let me see what your fate is. In other words, she didn't want to be the cause of somebody's causing somebody's sin. Then, the kibul sachar me'almana, we learn what kibul sachar is from an almana, the hi almana davai be'kinishta b'shibavuta. There was a certain almana that there was a shul in her neighborhood, But every day she would go further away, maybe to the other side of the town, to Rabbi Yochanan's base medrash. He says, Amar lo biti, lo bit hakneset b'shulute. He says, my daughter, isn't there, don't you have a shul in your own locality? He says, Amar lo, she said, Rebbe, lo schar p'siot yeshli. Don't I get reward for the p'siot, for taking a longer trip? So Rabbi Leibowitz was saying, there's a whole Talmud, we'll talk more about it, like in Poskim, but the simple shot is, Poskim say, if there are two shuls in town, go to the further shul, that's far p'siot. Rabbi Leibowitz was saying that it might be that there should be some, like, something, some mila with that other shul that's further away. But in any event, it seemed that she was an almana, and she was doing righteously and getting sakhar. So he says, so the Gemara says, ki ka'amar. So now the Gemara is saying that when the Brisa says, the almana shovavit, the neighborly almana is one of the destroyers of the world, ki ka'amar, k'on yochni bat retivi. It's like yochni bat retivi. So it's good that Rashi fills us in. I must confess, I don't know where Rashi gets his shot from, but Rashi explains the first white line downstairs. She was an amana who was a sorceress. In other words, she knew kishuf. And when the time had come for one of the women to give birth, she would cause the woman to not be able to give birth through sorcery. And then when the woman would be like an extremist, suffering very much, she would say, let me go and be mispalo for her, for you, whatever. Maybe Hashem will hear my tefillah. And then she would undo her kishuf, and then the vlad would come out. So she makes a pretense of being very pious, and that she ostensibly is praying. The truth is, she's causing the whole tzara, and she's just removing the whole tzara. So that's what it means that the almana shobabit, the neighborly almana, is one of the mavali olam. Means like the person appears to be one thing, but it's really something totally different. He says, then Rashi says, pamachara yala sakhir, a sakhir yom beita. One day she had a day worker in the house. And she, this wonderful sweet woman, goes to the woman who's, you know, ready to give birth. And this worker hears, like, I don't know, they said in the article, like, these charms making noise and the clean. Just like the child, you know, making movements in the utero. She opened the kli, and then the kshafim left, and the child gave birth. And then everybody knew that she's really this mechashefa. Now, the Gemara doesn't explain about the betula tzalgyanit, the one who is praying too much. That was in the Braisa. So the Isha Prusha is like, that's what we're saying in our Mishnah. The Isha Prusha, so she appears one way, but she's totally another way. That's what the Mishnah is saying, is one of the Bali Olam. But in the Braisa, the Mishnah, betula tzalgyanit, but it could mean the tzalgyanit, she's praying too much. And it was like constantly praying, you know, like and not doing what? No, in other words, like praying in a way it's not shy. In other words, she needs to do work, you know, things like that. But she's constantly praying. All right, let's see back on the Gemara.
But then, why did she mention the schar halicha there? I didn't understand.
No. You're mixing a lot of different cases. Okay, so the Gemara said that in almana shovav, neighborly almana.
Oh, it was talking about the almana already.
Okay. So it's back in the Gemara now. Now the Gemara says, "My katan shlo kalu chadasha." Now the third case in the Braisa was katan shlo kalu chadasha. It sounds like an infant that wasn't held to full term in utero. That's what shlo kalu chadasha. So what is that case? So hacha targimu. So here in Babel they explained it. It's a tamid chacham invite the rabbi tab. It's a tamid chacham. Mevayt means to kick. He rebels against the teachings of his rebbeim. So Rashi explains that, look at Rashi, three lines above where it gets right from the bottom. That his life is shortened. So that's why he calls him Katan Shlo Kalu Chadashav. Like, that you know, in other words, if it's not a full-term pregnancy, so the offspring isn't necessarily going to live so long. Depends on the situation, obviously. But you see, but he's just borrowing a term, and he's saying, according to Rabbi Abba, the first wide line downstairs in the Gemara, it's a Tamash Shogila. No, I'm sorry. The two lines above where it gets wide, he says, that he's rebelling against his Rebbe's teaching. And then the next shot is, Rabbi Abba Amar, Zatamash Logila Hora Amore. Rabbi Abba says, Katan Shlo Kalu Chadashav. So it means that it's a child that hasn't been fully developed. So he's a Talmud that hasn't learned adequately and is going off and making halakhic rulings. So he's not at the level where he could be a mora halakha. He's going out making rulings to people. So that's what it means with this katan. So that's the way I think that Rabbi Leibowitz explained it. The Amar Biba, Amar Huna, Amarav, Ma'ati Rabim Chalim Hipila. This is a pasuk in Mishnah, the book of Proverbs. Shlomo Melech says, now the Pshuto Shemikra means like if it's a zona, a harlot, she's brought down many people. Rabbi Mechalim Hipila, he says, and great are all the people she's killed. But the way he's darshaning it out, Ki Rabbi Mechalim Hipila, Zetamen Chacham Shlo Yila Hora Umore. In other words, Ki Rabbi Mechalim Hipila, that the Tamen Chacham, who is making rulings, even though he's not qualified to, he's Rabbim Chalim Hipila. He's caused many, the downfall of many people, but Hipila means like to miscarry. In other words, because of his ill preparedness and his Hora'ot, so he's caused many people to go down the hill, but he used Lashon Hipila. And then Ba'atsumim Kol Harugeha, let's see back, he says, Umore. And bottom line, Ba'atsumim Kol Harugeha, greater all the ones that she's killed, it's the opposite. The Talmud Chacham is at the point where he should make Hora'ot, and he's holding back. So that's what it means, Atsumim Kol Harugeha. Atsumim means like to close his mouth. He's opening the mouth. Ba'atsumim, because he's closing the mouth, so there's a lot of people who are dying. It means like, you know, not doing the right thing. So turn page, top line on Shafez and Mabez, Biat Kama. So how long should a person wait till he's the Hora at Arba Inshtin? Till he's, Murashi learns till he's age 40. And then Rabbi Leibowitz pointed out, the Tosfos says that it means like 40 years after you've heard what your Rebbe taught you. But he says here, so the Gemara says, Enius is true, the Gemara, Baha Rava with an Aleph, Rava Ori. Rava, we know that Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that Abaye v'Rava meet Beit Eli Ka'u, that they came from Beit Eli, and Rava was only Osei B'Torah, only to age 40. So he was making rulings before he died, and according to Tosfos B'Fa, it's not a question, he's 40 years old, learn it. He says, Rava Ori, so B'Shavin. So B'Shavin, Rashi has two B'Shavin and B'Shavin, on the second wide line of Rashi, B'Shavin, Im Shavel Gadol Yer B'Chachma Mutar Lahorot. If he's the equivalent in learning, let's say the Gadol Yer is 50, and he knows as much, and he's 30, but he knows as much as the 50-year-old, so then he can make rulings. He says, Osha ain't since I came in of a year. Or nobody is at 40 in this town. Everybody's young, or nobody has so much learning, but he's equal to everybody else with the learning. So then he can make a hora. Then he can make a hora. So Rava, even though he was in 40, he was the equivalent of presumably of the people who were, I mean, he was a Gadol Hador, so not presumably. He was the equivalent of the other people who had been in that town. Okay, let me just pause for a second. All right, there's lots of things here. You know what? All right, Yosef says we have time. Okay, so let me just do a little piece here. Okay, Poskim question why the Gemara praises the widow who walked to Davin in the base medrash. There is a principle that one is not permitted to pass an opportunity to do a mitzvah, ima viral a mitzvah. And seemingly she violated this principle when she passed the Beit HaKnesset and was closer to her house to Davin in the base medrash. So in the story, the Almana passes by the shul that's nearby and she goes to the base medrash of Yochanan. So there's a din ein ma'avir al mitzvah. So the Truist Lubushe Mordechai asserts that prohibition against passing an opportunity for a mitzvah does not apply if one passes the opportunity for a mitzvah in order to do the same mitzvah in a more beautiful manner. Therefore, since walking the more distant base medrash involves a greater effort, this is enhanced, thus the prohibition against passing an opportunity to perform a mitzvah. It's not violent. So he's saying a little different than Rabbi Levi was saying. He's saying, goof for the act of walking more enhances the mitzvah. Rav Zalman Pardo writes, the value of walking to a more distant Beit Knesset does not apply to someone who is a Torah scholar who spends all his time studying Torah. For such a person, it is better to daven at the Beit Knesset than as close to his home, so that he should not lose valuable learning time walking to the more distant Beit Knesset. Chuma's Divrei Malkiel challenges the principle that walking to the more distant Beit Knesset should carry greater reward. The mitzvah that will be performed is davening the Beit Knesset, so why should walking to a more distant Beit Knesset generate any greater reward? In other words, the mitzvah is davening, so why is the greater reward? Someone sends an agent to a nearby location, the agent takes a longer route than necessary. Could he seek additional reward for the extra distance that he traveled? Obviously not. Therefore, we suggest the case of the more person's circumstance where the widow established her place, her makom kavua, but davening at the Beit Knesset that was distant from her home before the Beit Knesset that was closer to her home was built. So she had that was her makom kavua, and then now there's another place. Even though there was now a Beit Knesset that was closer to her home, she continued davening the one that was more distant from her home, since it's the place that she established as her place for davening. Davening the place one establishes for his davening is conducive for davening, for which the additional trip will generate additional reward. That's similar to what Rabbi was saying. Like you have some milah that's at this other place. Also, the other thing, Ein Mavir L'Mitzvot, not so clear if you, is it Ein Mavir L'Mitzvot? Well, Ein Mavir L'Mitzvot is the mitzvah right in front of you, ready to do. If I'm outside the shul, is that Ein Mavir L'Mitzvot? Whereas if I'm in the shul, it's Ein Mavir L'Mitzvot. If I walk outside the shul, it's not so clear that that's Ein Mavir L'Mitzvot. I saw something like this in the Mari Makom that Rabbi Simon once gave. Okay, I'm going to move on. Okay, everybody with me? No. Now we're on tough things on the base. Okay. Now Umako Prushma Police. The last case in the Mishnah that we said was the Mavali Olam with the Mako Prushim. Prushim are ascetic people, they're getting wounds. So the Gemara is gonna explain that this again is like a person who's making a pretense of being one thing and really something else. He says, Mako Prushim Kuli Tanarabanan, Shiva Prushim. There are seven ascetic people, but it means they're all with a level of falsity connected to them. In other words, like insincere Purushim. And you know, with the Gemara's going to mention all seven, and then we'll go through one by one. Purush Shechmi, we don't know what this means. Purush Nakvi, Purush Kizai, Purush Meduchia, Purush Machal Bativa, Sena, Purush Meyava, Purush Meyira. Purush Shechmi, so Osamas Shechem. So Purush Shechmi comes from the word Shechem, is obviously a city in Israel. So in other words, the person does a mitzvah, but he does it like Maaseh Shechem. So Maaseh Shechem, if you remember, so Chamor ben Yichash, Chamor ben Yichem, right. So the name of the son was Shechem, right? Shechem ben Yichash, Chamor ben Yichem, right. So if you remember, Shechem was the name of a person. He wanted Dina, the daughter of Yaakov, and so the father, Chamor, says to who's the mayor of the town, he says to all the members of the town, you know, it's a tremendous business opportunity. If you get a bris milah, they'll do business and we'll make a lot of money. So let's look at Rashi on the first narrow line. Maaseh Shechem, Shemalu Shalashim Shemayim. They did a bris, but not altruistically. So the person is giving the pretense of being a perush, but he really just wants kavod. In other words, he's not sincere. He's doing it for all the wrong reasons. That's perush shechmi. Back in the Gemara.
What do you do with from Mitoch Lolishma?
All right, we'll come. The Gemara will come to this, okay? All right, now let's see back in the Gemara. The next one is Purush Nakfi. Purush Nakfi, Zahaman Kivit Raglav. He like wounds his feet. Let's look at Rashi on the fifth narrow line. Haman Kivit Raglav, Malek B'Shiflet. He's going like very humble. Akeb Sad Gudal means the heel near the big toe. He's taking very small steps. He doesn't lift his feet far from the earth. When we talk about him, so to that, he cuts his feet on the stones, but it means it's a false, you know, pretense, making a pretense of being humble. He says, back in the Gemara, he says, Purush Nakvi, okay, this means that Purush Kizai, Amrav Nachmaris, Makizdam Liktalim. He's like, he bangs, let's see Rashi on the eighth narrow line, Makizdam Liktalim. He makes a pretense of shutting his eyes. In other words, like he says, I can't look at anything because I'm afraid I'm going to see a woman, but it's really a lot of baloney. We talk and as a result of that, he bangs his head on the wall, blood comes out of it, but it's really like a lot of baloney. He says, back in the Gemara, and again, when we mentioned in the Mishnah, the Makal Purushim, that's what the Mishnah was referring to. He says, the wounds of the Purushim. Then he says, the Parush Meduchya, Amar Rav Barshila de Meshapea ki Meduchya. He's like bent over, like Meduchya is the pestle. So let's see Rashi. The Meshapea Holech Chafof, he walks around like with his head bent down, or bent over. He's bent over, the head is bent over. Ki Meduchya Buchna Suik Makevet. Kevin, I think, is like a hammer, but in other words, it's like whatever he's using for this pestle, it's like it's bent over at the end of it. And that's what he makes a pretense of being that way. So then back in the Gemara, Parushma Chobativa Esena, he says, Parush, what is my obligation? And I'll do it. He says, what do you mean? Amaluti, that sounds positive. He says, what do I need to do? I'll do it. That sounds positive. El Da Amar. Machobati too, Vesena. He says, What am I left to do? I did everything already. And it was Machobati. I've done all the everything I have to do. You know, there's nothing else left for me to do, that type of thing. Let's see, Rashi. Machobati too, Vesena. Ma la sorod, lo asiti. What more can I do that I haven't done? Whereas, Mokilkiyim Rakol. He makes a pretense of showing. We have Gemara's over here. Just take a Gemara out, we'll help you, okay? So the Gemara, okay. We're stoked. It's Renault over there. No. Go low second shelf on the bottom. You see the pile of Gemara's right. Take the Gemara. Take one Gemara. That's the Gemara you need. Okay, good. Okay. So we're okay, page 44. Okay, we're around 10 lines down. He says, Parush me Ava, Parush me Yira means that he's Ava doesn't mean Abbas Hashem, means he likes the reward. In other words, he's doing because he wants the reward for the mitzvahs, or he's doing the mitzvahs because he's afraid of the punishment. So I'm really Abayi v'Rava Latana. We're talking about people who are, insincere, really people making a show of being from, but not really from. So the verse is Abayi v'Rava. So I'm really Abayi v'Rava Latana. So Abayi v'Rava said to the Tana. The Tana here is the teacher of the Mishnah and the Brises here. So he says, Lotitni Parash Miyava Parash Miyira. He says, you shouldn't teach in the group the Parash Miyava Parash Miyira. You should leave that out of the group. He says, the Amar Rav Yudim Rav is Rav Yudis, the name of Rav. Liolam, you have the place, right? You have the place, okay. Liolam Yasokadam Torah Mitzvot. A person should always toil in Torah Mitzvot, even if it's insincerely, to Mitosh Lishma Balishma. Because as a result, so the other people, they're just like making a show of being from, not that they're necessarily doing mitzvah, but they're behaving as if they are. You know what I mean? Like that's bad news. But the Parish Miyava, Parish Miyira, he's doing mitzvahs out of because he wants the reward, or he's doing mitzvahs afraid of the punishment. So the Chazal teach us, you start out not altruistically, eventually you'll come to be altruistically. That's what he says. Now, so the Rav Libus is pointing out, and I think we've had this before. And Tosus quotes it here as well. Right. Yeah. One second. Make a memorial agreement. One second. Is that sometimes the Gemara says, if you look at Tosus, near the very first very white line in the Tosus, he says, Kalothim Torah Shalashma, Nasilus Samamabit. If you're also thinking Torah Shalashma, it's like Samamabit, a potion of poison. And then the Gemara says, better than you weren't created. So one answer is, it depends on what your shalishma is. If shalishma is like lekante or lekapeach, if you're learning just to torment talmidei chachamim, then that's not good. If your whole purpose of learning is to torment somebody to come in, to shlug them up, that's worse than this situation. Let me be back in the Gemara and then we'll move on, we'll pause, okay? So Amar Nachbar Yitzchak, the Mitamar Mitamar. Nachbar says, that which is hidden from people is hidden. In other words, I don't know what's in people's minds with Megalia Megalia, and which is revealed that I see. But Edina Rabba, but the Bezdin, the great Bezdin, means the Bezdin Shomala, they should take, like, punish or take, judgment of the people who, like, wear, like, tzitzis, make a show wearing tzitzis, but aren't really from. Let's see, Rashi. The mitamar mitamar chulei hanisterot nisterot neadam glui gluyot. I mean, kol makom, the beit enagel kulam. Everything is revealed in the base in shemala. who mean a Kaddish Baruch Hu, Yifram and Mekasim and Talito, Demar and Atzman, Kipushim, Enam Pushim. People make a show, a pretense of being from, and not really from, bad news. So back in the Gemara, Amar lo Yanai Malach tala debite. So Rabbi Yanai, if you remember, Yanai Amelach was at Stuki. He was from the Beit Hashmonein. And his wife was the sister of Shimon Shetach. So before his death, so the wife was concerned that, you know, the husband's going to die, and I'm concerned that I have my kids, I want them to yarshan the Malucha. I'm afraid what's going to be. So and Yanai Melech had killed off a whole bunch of Prushim and things like that. So Amalei Yanai Melech told the Bitei. So Yanai Melech said to his wife, don't worry about the Prushim. The Prushim are the from people. Aesthetic, he's talking about the Prushim are the from people. Don't worry about the Ena Prushim, the Sukim. You know, I'm a Sukiyar, my Chevra. Don't worry about either one of them. And Rashi says, let's look at Rashi. The Prushim hated Yanai and Melech, but he killed off many Tamei Chachamim. Then he became a Tzuki. So when he was about to die, she was afraid they're going to take away the kingship from the family. And so she was saying to him, I want you to raise something before you die. He says, don't worry about the Prushim. They're righteous people. They're not going to do any bad to you. And not the sons either. And don't worry about the Enam Prushim and Sukim, because those are my pals. So back in the Gemara, he says, Ella, who should be worried about? Elaminatsfuin, the charlatans, Shadom and the Prushim, who make a pretense of being Prushim, Shemasim, Kamasay Zimri, their actions are like Zimri. Zimri is like the one who had, not is the member of the Save Shevet Shimon, Zimri ben Salu, who had relations with the Moab woman at the end of Parshas Balak and then the beginning of Parshas Pinchas. They do like Masi Zimri, but his actions are really atrocious. He says, with actions, Sachar to Pinchas, but they seek the Sachar like Pinchas. And one shot, I think it was the Masifta and Rabbi Libus was saying as well, why did they pick Zimri and Pinchas? Because they're diametrically the same Indian. In other words, in the same topic, Zimri is involved with the Zima and Pinchas avenges it. And then those are the people you really have to worry about. Look at Rashi, Elamin Atzfuim, Kolomar, Sheimar Tam, Tololotam. They don't look like they really are. El Tzfuimi Bechutz, Main Tokam Tabaram. Their inside's not like their outside. Shema Same Kamasi Zimri, Shema Shayim. They're really, really wicked. So they tell the people they should be honored like Pinchas. I'm really Pinchas. We can afford all the someone to say means like they're Kagdok. They're really, they're really from, but they're really involved with all sorts of stuff. So that's really, you know, I spoke about this last week in my Parsha class, which you're all invited to. I'd love to have all my Parsha class, all of you. All of you. Anyway, so, you know, with the Chazer, so it has one siman of kashrus and one siman of treifus. So the chazer doesn't chew its cud, but it has a split hoof. So the Torah, when it's describing the simanim with the chazer, it says kimafris parsahu. In other words, it gives the siman of kashrus before it gives the siman of treifus. In other words, it says it's the chazer is not kosher, which is mafris parsa, but who gave ralo yigar, but doesn't chew its cud. So it should say. No, it doesn't chew its comments. Like say what's so this is something Rav Simon was saying, but in other words, with the chazer, like the semen of kashrus makes it more tame. In other words, if somebody looks like a gangster, he is a gangster. So you know, I know he's a gangster, he's bad news. But but if somebody looks like he's a from person and he's really a bush hot, then that's worse news. So the chazer, because he looks like he's kosher, he's got the split off. That makes it more tame. He's got to stay away from this even more. That's the same thing. That's the same thing with this. Okay, what do you want to say? Right, let me pause for 2 minutes and we got to go. What's up?
I will say two things. Rav Pam used to say that the reason the Chazer is more dangerous, it's like the Soviet Union. Soviet Union came off like they're the people's for seven decades, like they're the government for the people. But the emissaries, it wasn't like that. So they're like the Chazer. They're like the Chazal guys, one who is trying to show a good simon. And also, the other thing I wanted to say is that in Yaris Tavash, the Rebbe Rabbi Yonison asks the Kashi, he says, why did you have to have a bris Why didn't they just, why did you have to have the bris and the whole business in Shechem? Why didn't he just tell them to fast for 72 hours, no eating, no drinking for 72 hours? They'd be very sick and very, very feeble and kill them. Why did you need the bris? So he gives the teretz over there in Yaros Tavash that Shimon and Levi were afraid that all the Yomus HaOlam around and around Shechem would stand up against the Shvatim. He says, now that we did a bris, they became Jewish. Jewish blood. Who cares if we killed a bunch of Jews? So Jewish blood is very cheap. And Chodesh Takas
Shemesh. All right.
That's what I'm going to be honest.
All right, very nice. Okay, I'm going to get going. Okay, now, let's do the beginning of the next Mishnah, and then we'll talk. So 10 lines from the bottom. Okay, next Mishnah. Oh, Manitin. Okay, Manitin, Reb Shimon Omerim, Chut Tola B'mayim Mamarim. So we learned in the previous Mishnah that who was it that sent them to the 3 years? The Mishnah says stop. The Mishnah says the first Mishnah Daf Chaf holds that if the accused sota has merit, we went through what the merit was, like she sends to make sure the kids study Torah and the husband studying Torah, so then she could stave off the effects of the Mayim Hamarim for up to 3 years. So Manita Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon means like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, Ein Zuchot Tola B'Mayim Hamarim. He says, the Chus doesn't do anything with you with the Mayim Hamarim. By the way, I meant to tell you, I did look into that question you had asked. And first of all, I have regards from you from Rabbi Sarfati. And he says he ships a lot of nachas from your question. And I'll talk about the answer in a minute. And I spoke to Rabbi Schechter also about this. And I have a question on something Rabbi Schechter said. But we'll see in a minute. Okay, well, I'll explain in a minute. We're running out of time. So Shimon Omer is Chutol B'Mayim Hamarim. The Chus doesn't hold off the B'Mayim Hamarim. The Matel Omer is Chutol B'Mayim Hamarim. If you say the Chus does hold it off, Matel Tadamayim B'Fnei Kol Anashim HaShotot. In other words, that means you're going to dim. In other words, they're not going to, you know, be so afraid of the Mayim Amarim. He says, "Motzi Tashem Ra La Torah Shatu," and you're going to be motzi. In other words, the Mayim Amarim is not going to be, you know, you're going to take away the impact of the Mayim Amarim, and they're not going to be afraid to drink it. And they'll say, "I have zchuyos," whatever. He says, "Motzi Tashem Ra La Torah Shatu," and then the women who weren't guilty, nothing happened to them. You're going to be motzi shame on them. Shomrim Tmeot Hain. People say they were mizana. Ela Shatafalim is good. They just had a lot of zchus. So Rabbi Shimon holds the zchus doesn't do anything. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, as zchus tola b'mayim hamarim, zchus is tola ve'ena yoleda ve'ena mishabachat. But in other words, it's like a slow effect. In other words, the woman after she drinks it can't bear children, and she doesn't improve in situation. Ela min navna v'holechet. In other words, she slowly, you know, her health, you know, gets worse. The Sophie Meta Botamita, and in the end, she dies the same death as the Sota, like, you know, Vinafly Recha, you know, Vinafly Recha, Bitsav Tabitnan. And so Yosef asked like this. He said that if Sechus is told up to 3 years, so then how could that be? How could, in other words, everybody's observing her, nothing's happening, so everybody assumes that she's not guilty. How could the husband end up having relations with his wife when she was really Mizana? How could that be the case? That was Yosef's question. So the emesis Tosfos asked this question of Davav and Beis. I saw it in, I mean, Rabbi Sarfati, I thought he said to me the same idea, but then I saw it in the Masifta. He told me, look in the Masifta, whatever. And I looked at the Masifta, he quoted Tosfos Davav. So Tosfos says that the Torah is Mekanish to us, that the husband is allowed to be with her. But that Rav Schechter thought like this. Rav Schechter said to me that that she's like, her health is slowly getting worse. So that, right, like Menavna Volechet. But the only thing is, so it's not like Tosfos, but that's what Rav Schechter said. But the only thing is that, you see, it comes out that the Gemara discusses what's the difference between what the Gemara says here and the opinion on the Chafam and Aleph. And what's the difference between Rebbe, who says that she's Menavna, she goes downhill, and the opinion we put on Daf Chaf, this is the Chus is told for 3 years. So one opinion holds that they both hold that her health decreases. But the difference is that the Mishnah on Daf Chaf holds she'll die from the disease process. And here Rebbe holds that she'll die like the Sota, the death. In other words, so according to that, that goes along with Rav Shach.
this shot. But another opinion, and this is Machlokes of Yosef from Sheshet, the other man da Amar holds that that no, indeed, we've been holds up for 3 years, so she's symptom free for 3 years. That I thought didn't go so well with Rav Shechter. Okay, let me just do 2 minutes of this mission, then we got to be it. So let's take a look back on the Gemara. So now 4 lines from the bottom. That's what the Baalei Tosfot says. And according to Rav Shechter, not necessarily so. Rav Shechter says that he's on notice that they can't be together because they see this, that it's having an impact. All right, please, I don't have time. Okay, now. If the mincha became tameya before it went to the klishare, it's like, in other words, it's only kedushas damim until it's kedushas in the kli, so it could be redeemed. If it went into the klishare already, now it gets kedushas aguf, so it has to be burned if it becomes tame. The following minachot are burnt, the top line of chupkimunalot. In other words, if the mincha was separated out and put it in the klishare, and then the woman says, I confess, like it was on it, so that has to be burned. You can't go forward with it. Or if Adam walk in the door and say she's tmei, it has to be burned. Or the woman says, I changed my mind, I'm not drinking. Or the Baal gets cold feet. He says, I don't want to go forward with this thing anymore. Or if the husband had relations with her on the derech, he's not supposed to have relations. The chulin is suit lekohenim in chotein is refot. If this is a different shot, if the husband is a kohen, so the here it means the kohen will be burnt on his beach, but normally the shirayim are eaten by the kohenim. But a mincha of a kohen is nisrefet. So this will have to be burnt because she's an eshet kohen. But that's what it's going to come up in the door. Okay, I got to wrap it up. Okay, let me just wait. Don't leave yet. Let me just.